We rise. Grace to you and peace from our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our thoughts to Paul's epistle to the Romans as we look at chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, grant us such faith that our hope and strength would be found only in you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name, beloved of God, standing atop the holy stairs, he looked down with disappointment. Martin Luther had traveled all the way from Germany to Rome and had come to the Scala Sancta, the most holy stairs, and he found only disappointment. These were said to be the very stairs on which Christ had stood, the very stairs that were supposedly brought from Jerusalem to Rome, and now Luther had a chance to touch them. On hands and knees, his lips kiss each step. Pater Noster. Pater Noster. On each step, he repeats the Latin prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. He was taught that with each prayer and each kiss, he was climbing one step closer to the glory of God. One step closer to freeing a soul from purgatory. And so he climbed, Pater Noster, until at last he reaches the tops. His lips and his prayers have touched all 28 steps, but something is not right. As much as he touched every step, there was something left untouched, and that was his heart. Disappointment. All the prayers, all the pilgrimage, all the works. How would he ever know it was enough? And it was there at the Scala Sancta, having touched those holy steps, that Luther's disappointment with Rome would lead him from doubt to despair to discovery. And he arose and said, Who knows whether it is so? Who knows whether it is so? Disappointment is something that hits us all at one time or another. After all, what happens when we imagine to have reached the top, to get where we think we should be as Christians? What do we see when we look back on what we've done, on what we've said, on who we've been? Were those kisses sincere, or was it mere lip service? Did we spend enough time on each step in prayer? And what's happened when we find ourselves in tribulation? At times where the pressure's on, where climbing that next step is virtually impossible for us. Maybe we figure we'll go do it again. Try it again. Find some other way to fix things. Some other holy place, some other church, some other person we can blame. And then it happens again. One step forward, two steps back, and all of a sudden we're at the bottom all over again, wondering whether it is enough. Who knows whether it is so? This is what happens when we think access to God's glory will be gained by the stuff we touch, or the things we do, or the things we see in this world. It leads inevitably only to a crumbling foundation of lost hope and disappointment. Who knows whether it is so? Well, God knows. God knows what is so. And He has given us access to something else. Something that doesn't rest in us or what we see or what we do. Something that will not disappoint. That no matter how many stairs we have climbed up or fallen down has nothing to do with what God is telling us in this text. Today God grants us access to a hope that will not disappoint. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have peace with God. Paul has just spent four chapters, 1,824 Greek words, laying down this argument, proving God's case. 1,824 Greek words proving that there is none righteous, not one. Therefore, showing that there's a difference between the law of works and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, demonstrating from Scripture and experience that God does not justify the one who works, but He does justify the one who believes. Therefore, stating with paradoxical power, God justifies the ungodly. Therefore, it harkens back to all of chapter 3 and chapter 4 where Paul establishes the truth that we're saved not on account of the righteous things we've done, but on account of the righteousness which is in Christ and the faith which accesses that righteousness. Culminating in the verses that lead up to our text, righteousness shall be credited to us who believe in God, who delivered Jesus into death for our sins and raised Him to life for our justification. Therefore, we have peace with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint. Now this hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Peace means we are at God's side. And He is at our side. Literally, the preposition in Greek means side by side. We have peace at the side of God, meaning we have access. Access to a higher authority, access to a greater hope, access to the fullness of glory. But it's not because of what we do or think or touch, but it's because of what we believe. A hope that does not disappoint. It's a hope that does not disappoint, first of all, because it's objective. Now, what we mean by that is Grace is an object, and you are the subject. An object is something outside of you that doesn't have anything to do with what you're doing or not doing. We have access into this grace. The grace is unchanging. It never changes. The justification that's ours through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness, the life, the salvation, never changes. And the way we gain access to all these benefits is simply by believing, by trusting that what God is saying is true. But in order for us to truly comprehend, truly believe that this is true, it means we must be led to disappointment. We must be disappointed in ourselves. We must be proven failures, that we can't climb the stairway to heaven. We must be led to disappointment in ourselves when we face tribulation and we think somehow something I'm going to do is going to overcome it. We must be led to disappointment to see how we've disappointed God, so that we know that it's not about us making it to the top, but about Christ coming to the bottom. This is the hope that does not disappoint, which sees that everything in us and everything in this world and any hope you have of something you can touch or do in this world is going to lead to disappointment. Eventually, someday. But instead, now we turn to a Savior and God who has come down. The love of God which has been poured out into our hearts, which has come down the staircase of disappointment. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That is to say, Christ was at the top, but he chose the bottom. He was at the top in all glory. No reason to think he should come down, be subject to the law, and especially not to die. But he came down. He came down step by step, lower and lower. Jesus came down, and along the way he saw some people. Along his way down, he saw a person on a step, bent over and praying. A righteous man. The type of person you see at church every Sunday. He saw this man praying, a Christian, a Lutheran of Lutherans, the type of Lutheran that knows our confessions inside and out, that is there for every work day, that is dedicated and rigorous in all he does, zealous beyond them all. And he's bent down and praying, I thank God I'm not like other men. And Jesus hangs his head. And he keeps going. Down the stairs he goes, until he comes to another man, bent over and praying. This was a good guy. He was a good guy, the type of guy that would help you in a pinch, as long as you'll help him in a pinch. He was quick to help, a good citizen, a good neighbor, that is, as long as it didn't cost him anything. You figured he was a good guy. But when times of trouble arose, when he saw a friend, a family member, a church member who was truly in need, who had gotten into big problems, who had messed things up, and he saw how much it would cost him to help, how much it would cost him in time, money, patience, frustration, he figured he'd look out for number one. And he bent down and said, I know I'm not perfect, but nobody is. And Jesus was surrounded by guards, shackled by our sins, and led down further. He came down step by step, lower and lower, until he reached the bottom. And there at the bottom, he found a man whose face was buried in the dust. His lips are covered from the dirt because he's been kissing the ground. He is buried in his own sins, unable to lift himself up, unable to lift a finger. He's tried. He's tried to do better. He's tried to get things straight. But he keeps falling back. One step forward, two steps back, and now he's at the bottom yet again, covered in sin. And he kneels down and prays, Lord, make atonement for me, a sinner. And Jesus looks at him, the ungodly one, the sinner. And he kneels down next to him and he prays to the Father with him, Pater Noster, our Father who art in heaven, thy will be done. And there at the bottom, Jesus, the most righteous of them all, is left for dead. He opens himself to hell itself, to all of our sins. There he is buried in our sins, his righteous blood spilt on the ground, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good guy, someone might dare to suffer. But Christ demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. There at the very bottom, he found you. And together, he lifted you up. He rose from the dead. He gave you life. He gave you hope. And he said, arise. Have access to everything that is mine. For if, when you were my enemy, I was willing to die for you, how much more certain can you be that when I live, you live in me? Now you know my suffering and death was done in love for you. You who don't deserve it, how much more certain can you be that you are at peace with God? You are reconciled because I live, and by believing in me, you have access to the top, to the glory, to a hope that does not disappoint. Now this hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is what perseverance is all about. Now to see it in your own life. A hope that does not disappoint. Remember that even though you, by faith, are at the top with Christ, don't forget about your sinful flesh. Your sinful flesh is still at the bottom, still in the dirt, trying to struggle and get out, not wanting to take any help from anybody. And he's never going to get anywhere. Don't forget that that's part of you. And that's your test of character, whether you will be characterized by your sinful flesh who tries to struggle and do it all on his own, or by the risen Lord who's at the top already. Tribulation produces perseverance, literally a remaining under, that is a cross, losing your life, dying. The cross is your perseverance because that is where your character is proven. That is where the character becomes Christ, whose cross leads from death to life. See that hope in your struggles as you face the days ahead. This is your proven character, knowing you have a hope in Christ that will not disappoint, no matter how much you disappoint yourself. This is what saved Luther, who found in this book of Romans the truly holy steps, the words of law and gospel which take us from hell to heaven, the words of the law which bring us to the dust of the earth where there is no hope, and the words of the gospel which pour into us the love of God and take us to the glories of heaven itself. We have peace with God. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows whether these things are so? Well, we do, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts right now. This is a hope which does not disappoint.